G'day, welcome to our Christmas 2016 series, Jesus Now, looking at Christmas through a different lens. Instead of using the normal lens of expectancy, we are looking through the lens of the consequences of Jesus' birth. So why did Jesus go to the cross? We read again in the book of Isaiah chapter 59 verses 1 to 3. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities and sins have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. For your hands are stained with blood, your fingers with guilt. Your lips have spoken falsely, and your tongue mutters wicked things. So what's the problem? Sin is what separates humans from God, and as a consequence, leads to both a spiritual and a physical death. In the Old Testament, sins were dealt with by blood sacrifices of atonement as coverings for sin. Leviticus 17 verse 11. For without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin. Hebrews 9 verse 22. A blood sacrifice is God's way of dealing with sin. These blood sacrifices of the Old Testament signified several things. They provided a covering for sin. They showed the great cost of sin. They were an exchange or substitution. And they were always only going to be a temporary measure as they pointed forward to Jesus' death. So, that's the problem. But what's the solution? We read in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 4 to 7. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me, with burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased." Then I said, "Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, my God." The solution lies not in continual animal sacrifice, because the blood of animals cannot take away sin, but were only a veneer or a covering. That was why it was necessary to repeat time and time again. It is only through the death of the God-man Jesus that sin is completely taken away. There are three great biblical words which can help explain the solution: substitution, propitiation, and redemption. Firstly, the substitution. Why is that so? It is so because Jesus is the permanent sacrificial substitute. Once the stain of sin is gone, it is remembered no more by God. Peter, one of Jesus' disciples and friends, wrote this: "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God." 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 18 to 21. Peter is saying that Jesus died for our sin. That is how God is both just and the justifier of sinners. That is why Jesus needed to be both fully God and fully human. If Jesus lacked either, it would not be the full substitutionary sacrifice that was necessary to bear the permanent consequences of sin. When Jesus died on that cross, in our place, Jesus bore the consequences of all sin, past, present, and future. Jesus, therefore, became sin for us. And it was his precious blood as a lamb without spot or blemish that fulfills God's requirements permanently. Propitiation. John, writing in 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 to 2. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now we have to remember this. Towards sin and sinful behavior, God has great fury, anger, and wrath. Sometimes we forget that in our nice, delicate 21st century Western society. Even in the church, it can be an unpopular subject. Yet, as Micah chapter 7 verse 18 reminds us, God is slow to anger and quick to forgive. Now, what's this meaning of propitiation? Propitiation basically means the turning aside of God's anger by the offering of the sacrifice of Jesus. All of God's anger and judgment of sin falls on Jesus instead of upon us as humans. Therefore, we need to approach God to appease his anger in order to accept it. John again writing in his first letter, 1 John. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is real love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a propitiation or sacrifice to take away our sins. And our third big word, redemption. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Mark chapter 10, verse 45. In the time of the New Testament, this word was used to refer to the buying back of a slave, the price paid to buy the slave's freedom. God himself paid redemption so that all humans can be freed from the slavery to sin. The price was paid, and so we are redeemed with the precious blood and sacrifice of Jesus. But it is our responsibility to choose that way. God does not coerce forcefully. He leaves it as a choice for humans to make as individuals. Coercing forcefully is not love. And we know that God is love. Finally, what is our response to this to be? Sacrifice, substitution, propitiation, and redemption can be summed up in one word, love. A love which is always giving, always sacrificial, and always present. Again, John writing in 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. How have you responded to this love of Jesus Christ for you? If you are a Christian disciple, when was the last time you told somebody this good news of Jesus Christ? What sacrifices are you prepared to do for the sake of God's kingdom here on earth? Next time, we do actually look at Jesus' birth, the birth of the God-man. We looked at why Jesus had to be born, but what were the circumstances of that birth? And even though it is a familiar story to us, let's marvel again afresh at this amazing event in human history. And for that, you'll have to come back next time. See you later.